Pastor Brad's been preaching a couple sermons on love, the love of God and loving one another. So important. So we're going to start out this morning in the book of John. He's been pulling from 1 John. I'm going to go to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Amen. Father, we pray this morning that even as the word goes forth, Lord, that it penetrates our hearts, it goes into the deepest places. Father, we give you complete permission to dig up anything that needs dug up this morning, that we surrender, we relinquish, we give to you everything, Father, that you're asking from us. I pray, Lord, that we would follow this example just as you have loved us, that we would love you and love one another in the same manner and in the same respect, Father, that we would love our brothers and sisters in Christ and that we would give everything that we have in our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this here is a new commandment I give to you. This was Jesus speaking. And so he was giving them a new commandment to love one another. Not only that, but to understand that we are to love one another as he loved us. So he's giving us a model to follow as I have loved you. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ gave his life up for us. And so he even says to laying down our lives for one another. That's pretty heavy. And so whenever we understand that he's calling us to love one another, not just like, oh, I'm going to buy him an ice cream cone, but like to lay down our lives for one another, that's deep. And that's a deep love. And so we've got to take that seriously and not just let it roll off of our back like, you know, a duck this morning, water off of a duck's back, but that we actually like let it penetrate our heart. Lord, what do you want from me? How does this impact me? Because I can pretty much guarantee that, I mean, most of us could probably love a little deeper, I'm guessing. I know I can. I know I can do a better job at loving a little deeper the way Christ tells us to love one another. And, you know, it talks here of the agape love of God. And we're going to talk about that this morning, which is different than all the other types of love. And of course, we're going to talk about those types of love so we understand what they are and then also what the love of God is and how different it is. And let me also take you to another passage of scripture before we go there this morning, before we go into the types of love. Flip over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. This kind of gives us the idea of what the world's type of love looks like and what we're dealing with even today. You can kind of look around and see these examples in our world and in our society today. It says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, "But you know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And it's interesting, it says perilous times will come. But then it goes into all of these things that have to do with man loving themselves. That's kind of how it's classifying perilous times, because out of perilous times are men loving themselves so much that they only do for themselves, which causes damage. It causes perilous times in the sense that we only do think or do for ourselves rather than thinking of other people and how it can impact them. So we've got to pay attention to what it's saying here. It says perilous times will come because what? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's heavy too. It's like reading through that. It's like, oh gosh, that's kind of a depressing scripture. You know, it's like, am I any of those at all? And do I need to evaluate where my heart's at? Because, you know, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, like we have to be careful that we're not falling into that category. But then it goes on and it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Because we understand that whoever's camp we run in, that's who we tend to look like. If you look at the five average people that you spend the most time with, that's what you are an average of. That's what you end up looking like. And so who you spend time with, are they lovers of themselves? Do they boast? Are they seekers of pleasure for themselves? You know, all of these things. Are they haughty? Are they proud? You know, we have to look at this and say, I have to be careful that I'm not finding myself copying the ways of the world. And it says, having a form of God, but denying its power. Well, what is the power? The power is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. The good news of what? That he came and died on the cross so that all of our sins could be forgiven. And so the gospel is the power of love. Not the world's kind of love, but the agape God kind of love. And so he's saying that whenever we love ourselves, whenever we're thinking only of ourselves, only pleasing ourselves, only doing what pleases us, then we're actually denying the power of God and saying it's not possible, or I refuse to operate under the power of the love of God. So we have to be willing for our hearts to receive the love of God in our lives and to know that it is possible. He has given you the power to overcome in love. In fact, the Bible says that love covers what? A multitude of sins. Meaning, part of what love is in 1 Corinthians 13, when it says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not self-seeking. Well, down at the bottom of that scripture, it says it bears up. Or the other Greek understanding of that is it covers or it does not expose someone else's sin. Meaning, that doesn't mean that, oh, I hide your sin for you and you keep doing what you're doing. That's not what it's meaning. It's meaning you don't go out and slander someone. If someone has sinned, you don't go out and tell everybody else and give them a bad name. You take care of that thing with your brother or sister in Christ and you get it covered in love and in the love of God. But you don't go out and tell everybody else about it so that everybody else is looking at them going, mm-hmm, we all know what they did. You cover them in love. You cover them so that they are not being portrayed in the wrong light. So covering them with what? The love of Christ. Christ did not go out and blast everything that Peter, all the stupid things Peter may have said. You know, Peter, we know, is kind of a guy that just on impulse, he would just, you know, throw something out there. Some of the stuff was good, like, God, Jesus, call to me. I'll come out to you on the water. You know, just bid me to come. I'll do it. You know, some things were created of great faith. But then other things, you know, he goes and slices the ear off of a servant, you know. And it's like, okay, calm down, Peter. You know, and Jesus has to put the ear back on and heal the ear. And says, Peter, chill a little bit. You know, if this doesn't happen, I'm not fulfilling the will of God for my life. And so he doesn't go out and say, you know, Peter, guys, Peter is such a hothead. You know what? What is his deal? Do you think he's ever going to get it together? No, he had faith in Peter. In fact, we're going to read about that here in just a second. Go ahead and turn to John, the book of John, and we'll read that. John 21. So Jesus expects us to do the same, to cover one another, to love one another. But before I get into John 21, then I need to go through the different types of love so you understand what's going on in this passage that we're getting ready to read. So what are the different types of love? In these days, the Bible was being written in Greek because the whole world, the whole known world at that time was Greek speaking. And so the four different Greek words of love, you know, we tend to just say love. You know, I love pizza, I love candy, I love, you know, I love that movie, and I love God. And we'll just like classify it all together. Well, I just love. I love all these things, you know. But that love can be, you know, from here to here, a huge different spectrum of how much we love those things. And so our idea of love is very different than what it was then. And they had different words that describe different types of love. And so the first one is philia. The philia love was an affection or a brotherly love, an affection for one another, like, I wish you well. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I wouldn't wish that on anybody? You know, it's kind of like you care about the person. You don't want to see them go through a difficult time. You love them with a human love, a human affection. You care about them. You want to see them have good fortune come their way, good things to happen to them. And so that filial love is a heartfelt friendship. It's a heartfelt affection one for another. We come in here, we love one another, and we give each other greetings and hugs and things like that, and tell each other what? We love you, you know? But that can fall on various degrees. And so we understand that filial love is an affection, a heartfelt friendship for one another. The second type of love is eros, E-R-O-S. That is more of a romantic, sexual type of love. It's where the word erotic comes from, but it's a romantic, physical love. And so this is what the world tends to classify the realm of love in many times. When you see that on media, when you see it on TV, then it tends to gravitate in this area. But it's totally physical. It's not based upon necessarily commitment. It can be flaming one minute and completely dead the next. And so it is not a love that we base things upon. Can a true love have physical feelings attached to it? Yes, it can. But it's not based upon the physical element. But the eros love has to do with desire and feelings, passion. The third type of love is storge, and it is a natural family type of love, how a parent loves their child, how a child loves their parent, brother, sister love, husband, spouse love, a family type of love. You don't have to work it up. It's there. A mother loves a child. As soon as that child is born, they have a love for that child, right? It's not something, even many times it's developed as the child is in the womb. You don't even know that child yet, but you have a natural bond with that child. And so there is a natural love that people have because of relations. You don't necessarily love someone else's child down the road. You know, you might live three houses down from someone. You don't love their child like you love your child. So it's a different type of love. It's a natural love you have for your own family or those that are especially close to you. Now, the fourth one is an agape love, which is what we will be talking about this morning, the agape or God kind of love. And the agape love, it's interesting because it's not based upon feeling. It's not based upon physical aspects. It is based upon choice. It is based upon choice. And so you can actually choose. Have you ever heard someone say, well, we just fell out of love? We just fell out of love. See, that doesn't happen. You don't just fall out of love. You choose other things, and other things become a priority. And then you tend to distance yourself from one from another. And then there's disagreements, and there's things that cause a division. But if you will focus on one another, and if you love one another with an agape kind of love, then the love continues to stay. So if both parties are in it with the agape kind of love, a love of choice, I choose what is best for you and for our relationship. Now, that means you're going to have to put yourself on the side many times, right? Because it's not about self now. It's not like the lovers of themselves. But now it's the lover of, I love you, I will do what's best for you. I love you, if this means something to you, then I'm going to sit down and give you time for this and talk about it. Those that refuse to talk, here's a little relationship tip. If you refuse to talk about something that your spouse thinks is important or is important to them, but you refuse to go there, that's very selfish. Smack yourself. Because it's very selfish. That's a selfish type of love. Well, I don't feel like talking about it. I don't want to talk about it. You're only thinking of you. What if it's important to them? They deserve the time to sit down and discuss that because it is meaningful for the benefit of the relationship. And so when we're talking about an agape kind of love, we're not talking about convenience. We're not talking about yourself. We're not talking about what you want. We're talking about what is best for the relationship. Now, that can be with a friend, too. If a friend says, hey, I really need to talk to you about something, and this is a friendship that you're valuing, you've been a friend for quite a while, talk to them. Don't ignore them. Don't just, like, give them the hand and say, we don't need to. We don't need to talk about it. I don't have a problem. Well, if they have something on their heart, then you need to sit down and talk with them. It's for the best of the relationship, not just what you think. So understand, agape is not based upon you. It is based upon what is best for the relationship and the other person in mind. So it is about faithfulness. Agape love is about faithfulness. It is about commitment. And in fact, one of the definitions is it is an affection that involves choice or selection. An affection that involves choice or selection. That means if I love you, I am going to have to make a choice. A choice of what I want or the choice of what is best. So a choice will have to be made. I am selecting. That's why when Jesus said in one of the scriptures, he said that no one can be my disciple unless they hate their mother, brother, father, sister, son, all of those things. But what he's not saying hate them as what we think hate. It's not like having a hatred for somebody or despising somebody. What he's meaning is if you esteem them more than me, if you put them higher than me, then you cannot be my disciple. Why? Because as soon as that person wants something that's not in line with God, if you're not putting God first, then you have made them your idol. You have created in your own mind or your own life an idol, which is someone else's theology or what it is that they want. But everything should come under the discipline of God. So God first, then our relationships with other people and our family. So agape love is based on choice, on decision, on willpower even, choosing. It's not based upon feeling. And of course, the world would say that love is a feeling. Oh, we just feel. We just feel so in love. Those things will pass in time. And they're not always going to those butterflies, those feelings, that's not going to be there whenever the dishes need washed. It's not going to be there when the children are like not listening and you have two different viewpoints of what needs to be done. It's not going to be there in the middle of a financial decision, and you're disagreeing on the financial decision. And now all of a sudden you think you're going to have butterflies? No, it's not going to happen. But you can choose to love, you can choose to respect, and you can choose to discuss this with one another. And if something needs tabled for a time and you need to pray about it, then do that. But we love one another and we love God first. Whenever we love God first, guess what? Everything else falls in line. Because if we love God first, truly, and I'm talking truly love God first, We're going to humble ourselves to his word. I'm talking truly. I'm not talking like I love God, but I don't do what he says. Because remember, what does the word of God says? If you love me, you'll do what? Follow my commandments. That's right. So if you're going to love God and claim to love God, then you're going to follow his commandments and his word. So that means I got to be humble to his word. I have to yield to his word. And so if that means I've got to yield myself in the conversation to someone else for the best benefit of the relationship, then I need to do that. See, it's not all about me. It's not about my right. It's not about what I have to say. It's not about my opinion. And boy, can we get caught up in that. Well, I think, well, this is my perspective, and we're all really good at that. But sometimes we just need to zip it and listen to what someone else's perspective is and understand that they might have different upbringings bring different perspectives into play. And you got to understand, you're bringing two different worlds together in a marriage or in a relationship or even in a friendship, in a work environment. Like, you're bringing two different worlds together, and that's just two people. If you've got a work environment, it's 20 people, you've got 20 different worlds coming to the table trying to get along and trying to go forth with a vision. You've got a house of God here with full of people. Well, it takes the choice of love to see a vision bring unity and bring something to pass, because it means that we're all going to have to yield one to another. It means we're all going to have to, at times, love one another and choose the hard thing. And so understanding that God calls us to love. Love that is a choice, not love that is a feeling. You can actually separate how you feel from what you do. And that's a huge revelation for some. You can separate how you feel from what you do. I might feel a certain way, but what I choose to do, if I choose to do what is right, I'll receive the benefit of what is right. I'll receive the reward for choosing what is right, despite how I feel. And that's how forgiveness works. You know, many times people get tripped up because they think, well, I don't know how to forgive. I don't feel it. And they're waiting for that feeling of forgiveness. They're waiting for that overwhelming feeling of, oh, I feel like I love them now. I feel like I can forgive them now. And it's not how it works. Forgiveness is a choice. It is a choice to forgive. And see, the feeling will follow later as you choose to walk it out. And it's not even an overnight thing. Sometimes you got to go back to the prayer room again. God, I choose to forgive them. Sometimes you have to declare it out over and over and over. I choose to forgive them because you forgave me, Lord, of all the things that I've done. I was a mess and you forgave me. I did this, this, and this, and you forgave me. Who am I to hold someone else's sin against them? I'm not God. I did not create them. They're not my child. They're his child. So you need to let him do the disciplining. I don't know how many times I would tell my kids that. You know, my kids growing up, you know, your kids were probably the same. They always wanted to point their finger at, well, they did this, right? And they started this. Well, they're doing that. And I would always say, you need to worry about you. I will take care of them. But whatever you're doing right now, you need to take accountability for. You need to own what you're doing. Well, they did it, okay? I understand that what they did was wrong too, but that is none of your concern. You are responsible for you. And sometimes people want to point their finger because their challenge is not your challenge. Their difficulty isn't necessarily your difficulty. And so you think, well, that's easy. Why aren't they just walking in that? Why don't they just learn how to do that? You know, I do that. Okay, maybe so. But that's not necessarily where that something is going on in their mind. They're perceiving it differently. There's a root there that they need to deal with. So you've got to learn to deal with you. Let them and the Lord deal with what they need to deal with. And so it doesn't do a bit of good for us to sit there and stay in unforgiveness, because who does it hurt? Who does unforgiveness hurt? Yourself. See, you guys know all the right answers. You know. But it's different when we have to make the choice, right? When we have to make the choice to forgive. And see, that's the thing. It's like if you understand these things before they happen, then you're equipped. It's like, no, I'm not taking the bait. If you've ever read The Bait of Satan by John Bevere, make sure you read it, because it will save you a world of hurt later, because you'll understand how the enemy tries to throw bait in front of you in the realm of offense, the realm of hurt, the realm of jealousy, all of those things. Well, why do they get that and I don't? Well, why aren't they getting punished? Well, why aren't they getting the consequence? Why am I having to deal with this? Why is everybody rejecting me? Why am I not getting the promotion and they got it? Like, all of these things that can cause offense in our heart. They said this to me and it hurt. I get it. But the thing is, we have to submit ourselves to the Word of God. We are responsible first to the Word and let God deal with the heart of the other person. But if we understand that the enemy will always try to throw bait out there, why? To trip us up. It can trip us up. It can put a bitterness in our heart. And it hurts us. It's like poison to us. It can actually even cause physical issues in our life. Many people's issues, their health issues, are caused by bitterness. It's caused by unforgiveness, and they don't realize it. Keep your life clear of offense. In fact, refuse. Say, I refuse to be offended. Live that way. So just refuse. The Bible says that everybody has the opportunity for offense. There will be times that opportunities come your way to be offended, guaranteed. But in your heart, resolve, I refuse to be offended. I refuse to live an offended life. I refuse to let that settle in my heart. Do what you need to do, whether you need to clear it out yourself or go talk to the person. Whatever you need to do, talk to the Lord about it, and what he tells you to do, you do. But do not carry an offense in your heart, because it will cause destruction. So the agape love is based on choice. It's based upon choosing what you esteem. Do you value the relationship, or do you value being right? Do you value the person? Or do you value your own opinion? So whatever you esteem, you will place as highest. I remember one time talking to a couple, and man, this is a hard head. Just determined. Like, no, this is my point. And my point is this, and you know, I'm not moving, I'm not budging. And it wasn't like a sin or a non-sin issue. But in their mind, like, this is my point. And I'm like, okay, so you're willing to put that point on the line, and your marriage is now on the rocks because you want to keep your point? Is that what you want? And sadly, that's where a lot of people live. That they would rather win the argument, they would rather win the point, they would rather be right than they would keep the relationship. And that's sad. That's prideful. I told the first service, in fact, go ahead and turn to, we haven't gone through the other scripture yet, have we? Let me just summarize it. In 1 John, it talks about how perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment or torment. So when we fear something, we're afraid of whatever torment or punishment or uncomfortableness that it brings with it. So when we're afraid of something, whether it's insecurities, whether it's, I don't feel approved of, I don't feel loved. Those are all stemming from fear. Fear of not being loved, fear of not being accepted, fear of being rejected, fear of my insecurities, fear of identity, that I'm not enough, fear of all of these things. They all come from the enemy. They're all lies of the enemy. And until we understand who we are in Christ, then we'll deal with those fears. But see, perfect love, understanding God's love for us, begins to wipe away all those fears. See, everything destructive is rooted in fear. Everything negative that comes out of our life is rooted in some sort of fear. Fear of, like I said, like rejection, fear of not being accepted by someone, fear of lack of provision. And so out of that will come a response. Because you're afraid, so therefore you respond in fear rather than understanding the promises of God for your life. And understanding He is faithful. He will provide. And if we listen to Him, then we can trust in His word. So we have to move into the place of understanding His love for us. When we understand His love and His identity, His acceptance, His passion for us, then we understand that that love drives out fear. And what happens is everything that is rooted in fear, all of that negative seed, like the rejection, and see, people people typically, like the fight or flight, they'll either hide and cower and become timid, or they'll come out and become more prideful. But either way, all of those things that grow up out of fear, it gets covered in pride. So as long as we protect all those roots and we protect it and keep it under the banner of pride, nothing's wrong with me. I'm fine. I don't have to deal with anything. I've already dealt with that. See, there are things that people think they've already dealt with, but and maybe they have to some degree, but then they realize later something else comes up and it's like something comes out and it's like, where did that come from? Where did that response come from? Why did that fear show up? And so to block it, we'll put up a wall or we'll put up some sort of defense mechanism. We'll put up some sort of boastfulness or pride or something that makes everything look okay. But in actuality, behind that wall, there's some roots. There's some things that need dealt with. But if we keep that pride in place, it will never be dealt with. Because pride is the very armor that protects all those other roots. So we have to be willing to be humble before the Lord and others. It's not going to do a bit of good if you're humble before the Lord, but then you're still being prideful with everybody else. Because you'll still carry that same pride into your relationships. So we have to receive humility. We have to be willing to yield those things from the Lord, or to the Lord, sorry. So when it comes to the agape love of God, the choice of choosing, that is where maturity flows. Maturity flows from the place of agape love. Ministry flows from the place of agape love, or it should. I'm not saying people do it for other reasons. They can. But that's where it should flow. Our marriages, our relationships should flow in agape love. So let's look at this piece in John. You've been sitting there for quite a while with John 21. Did I tell you what chapter? John 21. Okay. Verse 15, this is after Jesus had risen from the dead. So he was resurrected. He's come back. He's talking to Peter. And if you understand the story, Peter, before this, had already denied Jesus three times. Even after he said, Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll stick with you through thick and thin. I'm going to be right there beside you all the way. You don't have to worry about me leaving. Everybody else might leave Jesus, but not me. And then before the rooster crowed that night, he had already denied Jesus three times. And then Jesus goes to the cross, died, rose again, and Peter still got this on his heart. understand the heaviness that Peter probably felt from that, knowing that he rejected, or not rejected, but denied Christ, denied knowing him, denied even being with him. But Jesus makes an appointment with Peter right here. And he sits down with Peter. And he says to Peter, in verse 15, he says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?'" Now understand, what's he meaning there? Do you love me more than these, Peter? Peter had just been fishing. They had just brought in a boat of fish. Peter was a fisherman when Jesus called him. That's been his trade all his life. This is what Peter ran back to once he had been come under the conviction of what he had done. Instead of staying with Christ, he goes, what? I'm running back to my old business. I'm running back to my old stuff. I'm going to go back and be a fisherman again. And Jesus had already told him before, I'm going to make you fishers of men, not fish. But now he hits this place. Now out of, I don't know what to do. I've failed. I don't know where to go, what to do. I'm such a failure. I'm going back to what I know. And he goes back to the boat of fish. And so when Jesus calls him again, he's fishing. He's back in his old business. And so Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this business, Peter? Do you love me more than this occupation? Are you willing to give this up to do what I'm calling you to do? And when he says that, when he says, Peter, do you love me? He's using the word agape. Peter, do you agape me? So in the Greek, that says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter answers, and he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Well, Peter answers and says, Lord, you know I filio you. Lord, you know I love you with a deep affection. I love you with a heartfelt friendship, Lord. So he wasn't quite answering the question the way Jesus asked. Jesus asked him, Peter, will you commit? Will you be faithful, Peter? Will you give me everything, Peter? Will you choose me over the other stuff? Will you choose me over the business, Peter? And Peter says, man, Jesus, you know I love you. You know I have great, tender affection towards you. You know that I love you like a brother, man. And that's how he answers. And I honestly think that Peter was afraid to stick himself out there 100% again because he'd already done it and failed, and he didn't want to do that again. I think he was doing it out of fear that he wouldn't measure up again. And in verse 16, Jesus says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you agape me again? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I filio you. Same thing again. And so Peter answers him in the same way. And then in verse 17, he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you filio me? See, Jesus changes it to the place that Peter's at. And Peter was grieved. And I think Peter was seeing through this thing and hoping to kind of, you know, divert the question, hoping Jesus wouldn't notice that he was using, you know, a different type of love. Of course, you know, I care deeply for you, Jesus. Yes, but Peter, will you choose me above everything else? Will you choose me when times get hard? Will you choose me when the situation doesn't always seem like it's in your favor? Will you choose me when things are crunched? Because technically what he's saying is, will you choose my ways? Will you choose my word? Will you choose what I tell you to do? Oh, Lord, you know, I love your word. I read your word every day. Lord, you know I go to church. Lord, you know I help. I help in ministry, Lord. I help do this at the church. I help, you know, at the dinners and you know, putting the chairs back out in the place, and I bring food, and I help with the kids. But will you choose me when it's time and when I tell you to do something that's not always easy? See, that's what Jesus is asking of us towards him, but also us towards one another. Will you choose my word? Will you choose me? When someone offends you, will you choose to love them? Will you choose to clear that problem up and go talk to them and make sure that offense is not staying there? Well, I'm waiting on them to come talk to me. You know, that's the opposite of what the Bible says to do. It says if your brother has an offense with you, it says that you go to him. And then the Bible even says if you have an offense with somebody, you also go to them. So either way, we're caught. Either way, it's back on us. We're to be the ones to go and make sure that there is a pure line of love and communication between us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, sometimes we as Christians think that love means don't deal with anything. And that's so wrong. That's so off the mark. Well, you know, I'm just loving them. I'm not going to go to them. I'm just going to sweep it aside. But in your heart, things aren't getting rectified. In your heart, you're still holding it. And in your heart, there's still a problem. And if that's still there, you've either got to make a decision. You've either got to completely forgive and don't bring it back up even in your own heart, or you've got to go talk to them. But the thing is, it's still on our plate to deal with and to just ignore it like things never happened. See, confrontation is not a bad thing. The Christian world a lot of times looks at confrontation and says, oh, that's bad. That's scary. That means I've got to go talk to somebody and it could make them upset. Do it in love. Don't go with an attitude. Well, you know, I'm coming to talk to you. You know, you upset me. You made me mad. And I'm going to tell you why you made me mad. You better apologize to me. You don't go like that. You go, hey, I just feel like there's been some distance. And if I did anything wrong, I just want to make sure that everything's okay. Did I offend you in any way? Did I upset you? Is there anything that caused a hurt in you that I did? Take ownership. Even if you don't necessarily know what you did, just take ownership. Be humble. There's been times that, I mean, I've done that with Ms. Tamara, haven't I? I've come to you before and said, hey, what's going on? Have I said anything? Did I offend you in any way? And you know, sometimes it's just the enemy. It's just the enemy tries to get in there and cause assumptions in our head, cause problems. Nothing's there, but the enemy will get in there and cause friction. And he'll just cause this dissension or this feeling like there's a problem, but nobody can put their finger on it. That's a real thing. The enemy will try to do that and just cause tension. And there may not be anything that's really going on, but boy, he's good at causing strife and he's good at causing tension. It's like you can't put your finger on it and what's going on, but as soon as you expose it and bring the light into it and you talk about it, it's like, no, everything's good. I love you. I love you too. Oh, so glad we talked about that. And the room is cleared and the enemy's expelled. But what you got to do? You got to bring light to it. The light of God. See, the enemy tries to keep things in darkness. And by not talking about it and not exposing it, makes it worse. It just, the tension continues to grow. And then there's a lot more assumptions that people make in their head. Well, I know they're thinking this. Well, I know. I know the reason they haven't called me is because of this. And we'll just make up all kinds of stuff in our head. And it's not even true, half of it. But we'll create that. And then we'll distance ourselves from them even more. And it's like, and then they're like, well, I guess they don't want to be my friend. And they distance themselves. And it gets so stupid. It's like, just go talk to somebody. Talk it out. Be the bigger person. Be the person that follows actually what the Word of God says. Don't cover it up and say, well, love means that we don't talk about anything. No, that's not what love means. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. Go and talk to your brother and sister. Find out what's going on. Be humble. You know, there's things in our life, and let me add this too. Because love, a lot of times, people think, well, love means ignoring every issue. And it means, like, I have to put up with abuse, or I have to put up with wrong treatment. No, that's not what love means either. Do you know the Word of God is full of boundaries? This Word is full of things that God laid out that if you don't do this, the blessing will come upon you. If you do this, then you'll be under a curse. Those are boundaries. Boundaries for blessing. Boundaries that bring a curse upon us. Boundaries that help us flow in the things of God. And then things, if we go outside of that, then we come under out of the shelter of God, out of the protection of God. And it's what? It's our choice. Those are boundaries. Boundaries of the covenant. Well, when we keep a relationship within the boundaries of God's covenant, it's going to be a blessed relationship. So not every relationship is supposed to, it's not that you aren't allowed to have boundaries in your life. You have boundaries. Like, not everybody just gets to treat someone abusively just because they want to, and then, well, because I'm a Christian, then that means I just have to put up with it. That's not what that means. Some people you might need to love from a distance. You still love them, but you might need to love them from a distance. It doesn't mean that you don't love, but you are allowed to have boundaries around things. Every marriage should have boundaries. Good boundaries. Friendships even have boundaries. Like if you're in a friendship and the person is calling every single day to complain about something, and you're like, man, this friendship is one-sided, and it's just like a drain. You might have to talk to him and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, but I can't do this every day. Like, you know, I'm at my job from this time to this time. I have to come home. I'm dealing with the kids. Like, I can't be on the phone an hour every day doing this. You might have to create boundaries. But you know what a good friend will do? They're going to respect that. So you can weed out people that aren't necessarily going to be good friends. Pastor Brad had a friend a few weeks ago that called, and they were going through some things, and they kind of talked for quite a while on the phone, and then a week later, they called back and said, man, I am so sorry. I felt so bad. I called you last week, and I kind of unloaded everything that was going on, and you listened, and I didn't even ask how you were doing. But that's a friend, you know? And he understood. He understood that brother was going through a time that he needed an ear. He needed prayer at the time. And it's not like the relationship's like that all the time. But, you know, it was heavy on his heart. And he said, I'm so sorry. I didn't even ask about you. That's a friend. A friend is going to respect your boundaries. And I'll leave you with this last idea too. Love doesn't always mean that you're rescuing everybody from their problems. Because true love also means that you might have to be honest with them. Because you can't pick up you can't enable them to continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over and over. You might have to be honest and be truthful in love, not in a harsh way. You love them, but hey, I can't keep paying this for you. I can't keep covering this for you. I can't keep making this happen for you. You have to make some decisions around here, but I can't carry this for you. So love doesn't mean just being taken advantage of. Love doesn't mean enable everybody. And sometimes that can be the hardest with our own children. Because, you know, oh daddy, don't you wanna take care of me? Oh mom, you know, things like that. Like you understand, like sometimes the hardest thing is to draw the line and say, honey, you're gonna have to learn how to do this. Gracia was telling me the other day, she's like, because she went through a time when she was young when there was just some fear that was setting in. And we were in Hana at the time, and I'm like, okay, you're going to have to get some verses in you. You're going to have to, I could have went in and slept with her. I could have been like, you know, okay, till you're 15 years old, 16, if we have to like sleep, you know, fall asleep on your bed every night, I could have done that. But it would have done her a bit of good at age 21 to still have the fear of things and not know how to overcome it. So we'd write down verses and we'd put them up in her wall, on her under the bunk bed, whatever, and she would read those verses that had to deal with fear, and she would get the word of God in her and declare those things over. It didn't mean I was like not there for her. I would pray with her, but I would show her how to overcome. So understanding that love teaches. Love gives the way out. It helps find the freedom, not just enables and cushions everything. So true love does the hard things sometimes. Minister, can you come to the keyboard, please? You know, love is the very word that describes who God is, and it describes Christians, or it's supposed to. It's the very thing that is supposed to symbolize who we are as Christians and the fact that God lives in us. God is love. And you know, sometimes we're striving for other things when the very thing is we need to get back to the basic of love. Loving one another, loving God. Is he still your first love? Have you strayed from your first love? Do you need to get back to some basics? There might be some things that you might need to look at it, because sometimes we can get so, I don't know, just like used to our walk with the Lord, that we're like, man, maybe I'm not loving as deeply as I need to. I might need to love God more. I might need to love others more. Whatever that might look like for you. But I believe that God is working on some people's hearts today of things that you might need to surrender to him, because it's blocking. It's blocking you from loving deeper. It's blocking you from loving him, or it's blocking you from loving others. And that's two different dynamics, but you need both of them. Because you need to understand the love of God and his love for you, but you also need to love him in return and be able to give that love back to him. Love is something that you see, just like it's a choice. You know, the Bible says that whenever... it says that Jesus said that the guys that chose the best seats of the house, the front, you know, like the front seats, they chose the seats that were the best. I wrote it down. Hold on, because I'm not doing very good at it, am I? In Luke 11, it says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and the greeting places in the marketplaces." And that even that word love, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue. You like to be up in the, and now I'm not saying that about here. I want people up front. But what I'm saying is they would have these places of honor. And they would love those seats in the front because it would make them look prestigious. It would make them look more honorable, like the most important people. That word love meant agape. See, we think about the idea of agape, but the idea of agape means to choose, to select something over another thing. What they were doing was they chose those seats. Why? For who? Them. Over their love for God. And saying, hey, why don't you take the front seat? Hey, why don't you sit here? Love is a choice. You can see it. You can see love. Because why? It's an action. Just like faith is an action, love is also an action. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? The Bible even says that in the last days that the hearts of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. And you know, it's talking about people in the church, which is scary. But you know, now that we understand that, we have to make sure that we are not allowing our hearts to grow cold. That we're guarding ourselves from allowing any of those hard-heartedness or anything that would cause us to be divided with brothers and sisters in Christ. Because remember, it all goes back to the scripture I said earlier, that they will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. So let's just bow our head for a moment. Let's make sure that our hearts this morning are clear of any offense, anything that would keep us from loving more deeply. And you know, maybe it doesn't even have to do with offense this morning. It might have everything to do with pride. That, you know, even loving God, your display of loving God shows in what you do and what you esteem. The fact that you're here this morning shows that you're esteeming Him. That is good. When we worship, when we give, those are moments of, are you going to esteem Him? Do you put His word first in your life? Or do you worry about people looking at you? Well, I just stand and look at the words on the screen. I just stand and watch everybody else display their love for God. Be someone that loves the Lord, and you are not ashamed to show it. That you will display, David said, I will become even more undignified than this. You ain't seen nothing yet, he told his wife, because his wife looked at him and said, oh, you're such an embarrassment, dancing before the Lord like that. The king? Ah, you should be more dignitary with all of your kingly clothes and you should look the part. But David ditched all the dignitaries and all the honor. And he said, I'll become even more undignified than this. You just wait. Because my God deserves all of my praise. Have a heart like David, a man after God's own heart. Have a heart after God. This morning, what is he touching you on? What is he saying to you? Do you need to give up some pride? Do you need to give up something in your life? Do you need to knock down some walls of division? Do you need to open up and maybe be vulnerable? Because sometimes we can be like, well, I'm just going to be tough. I'm not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to show my heart. I'm not going to show the things in my life. I'm not going to be real. I'm going to put on this mask. This morning, it might be time to throw your mask in. It might be time to take the mask off and throw it in. I'm done with the mask. I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable. Father, I pray right now, even as you're speaking to hearts, as you're speaking to lives, whatever decisions need to be made, whether it's pride, whether it's allowing themselves to be vulnerable, whether it's worshiping you, whether it's our love for you or love for others, Father, show us how we can go deeper. Coming back maybe to the first love of things that maybe we've kind of tossed aside or have gotten so busy about ministry or gotten so busy about doing that we haven't been being. If the Lord's speaking to you on anything this morning, just put your hand over your heart. And I want to pray for our hearts this morning. If the Lord's pinpointed anything in your life that he wants you to deal with, just put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray right now, soften our hearts towards you. But Lord, we are not waiting on a feeling. We choose. We choose right now to throw aside whatever hindrance, whatever wall, whatever mask, whatever thing that might have gotten in the way from loving you and loving others, I pray right now that you would receive that as a sacrificial offering. Lord, that as we give that to you, Lord, that we are able to love more deeply. That we're able to deepen our relationships with you and with others, that we can even, the things that need to be forgiven, Father, I pray those that are here this morning that need to forgive someone, Lord, that they choose today to cancel that debt. It doesn't mean they were right. It just means that you're releasing them to the Lord. You are not going to stand in judgment. You're releasing it to the Lord, and you're allowing him to heal you. So I just pray right now, just even imagine that being turned over to God. You're handing it to him. You're handing it to him. Lord, it's for you to deal with. It's not mine any longer. I choose to walk forward from this place. I refuse to stay stagnant. I refuse to stay in the realm of 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even last night. I choose to move forward with you. You have my whole heart. Now, before we take communion, if anybody in here this morning would say, I have not asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life, and you would say, I need to take that step today. I need him to be the Lord of my life. I want to ask him to come into my life and to live in my heart. His Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And he gives you the power to overcome. It's not in your own willpower. It's not in what you can do. It's what he does through you because of the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He took it all. And if that's you this morning, and maybe you made that choice as a child or when you were younger, but today you need to come back to him because you've been doing it your own way. And if that's you this morning, and you would say, I want to ask Jesus into my heart, can you just put your hand up and wave it at me so I can pray with you this morning? Anywhere across this room, I want Jesus to be the King of my life, the Lord of my heart today. I want to ask him into my life. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? Just another 20 seconds. The Lord's dealing with you. If he's knocking on your heart, don't refuse him today. Yield to him. Okay. I'm going to ask you two ladies, can you come forward and let me pray with you? Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. God's got a wonderful plan for both of you, and I know you guys are already in the house of God and choosing to take those steps. But today, I believe there's going to be a difference in your life, and he's going to bring you to higher levels. He's going to grace you with the power to do what you couldn't do before. Amen. Let me just pray with you. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ and his blood that sets me free. It's not based on what I've done or what I've done right, but it's based on Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. I ask you to come into my life, wash me, cleanse me, set me free. Give me life and power to do what I could never do before. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray today for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, to fill them, to overflowing. Lord, that the fire of God comes upon them, burning out anything that's not of you. Lord, that you would give them a heart to serve you all of their days. Lord, that their desires would be your desires. That they would love you. That they would be the example to others of the love of Christ. That you would put them on a path of acceleration. Surround them, Father, with friends that will uphold their arms and teach them the ways of you. Father, give them victory after victory, I pray. That the power of God will rest within them. The Holy Spirit will watch over them, seal them, guard them, and lead them. In Jesus' name, amen.